Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. So that had to be an interesting situation for Joseph, to find that she was going to be expecting a baby. But he was a just man. It tells us in verse 19, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. You know, we talk about Mary's faith, and we see her prayer in Luke. What a godly, virtuous, faithful woman she was. But can you imagine the faith that Joseph had to have? Wow. That took a lot of faith. We don't see him saying anything. And he's told she will bring forth a son, and he shall call his name Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife. And he did not know her. Now, of course, it doesn't mean he did not know her. It means he didn't know her intimately, and he did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now we go over to Luke chapter 2. So that's a short story of the birth of Christ. Now we get some more details in Luke. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And the census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. The reason he did this, because he did this in order to tax the people, know what the population was in each place. So he gave this decree to count the people, to take a census. It took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Every person had to go back to their lineage, their birthplace, to be counted, and then they would be taxed. So Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. That had to be a beautiful scene. Out in the open. It isn't like we see in movies or in cards. That would be beautiful, just natural out there. Stars, fresh air, a couple there, baby coming into the world, and they're taking the best care they could of him under the circumstances. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. What is this great message? There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man." And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Wow, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen them, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. That's the Christmas story. Matthew and Luke are the only books in the Bible, or only books of the New Testament, which speak of the birth of Christ. Isn't that interesting? Two places speak of the birth of Christ. And it's all we are told concerning our Savior, Jesus Christ, and his birth. The New Testament focuses on the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It focuses why he came to this world and how it affects all humanity. That's why it focuses on the resurrection, because it's why he came. We are given some facts in Matthew and Luke regarding Jesus' birth. Very limited facts, wouldn't you say? Right to the point. I don't know about you, but I'd rather read a small book than a large book. You know, right to the point, makes a point. Because once you put a book down and pick it up again, and then 3 months you pick it up again, it's not the same. Something that you can read right away is good. This is what it tells us about Jesus' birth. Very short. But it's very limited, in fact, and there is a reason what we are told, what we are told in the Bible. There's a reason for all of this that was written. You know, as we covered Sunday, what child is this? And we went over what child that was and who he is. And today, God is saying, here's what you need to know. Period. Here's what you need to know, what's important. See, we as human beings like to make images, statues, portraits, pictures look nice and pretty. We like to make scenes look nice and pretty. We don't make things to look not so nice or base or common. You know, when we do something, we like to really make it look good. Whenever you are in a picture, someone takes a picture, who is the first one you look at? Yourself. And if everyone else looks great, and you don't, you say, "I don't like this picture, let's take another one." See, we like things to look nice, even ourselves, even if you have to airbrush it. You see some portraits, and wow, it doesn't look too much like that person. Sometimes the problem is, sometimes this can carry over into the spiritual realm, what we humans like to do, make everything look pretty. And we do. An example is, did you ever see an ugly angel? No. They're all pretty. They're nice. That's the way we might like to make things look. Beautiful. The birth of Jesus, it was not perfect conditions. We don't know how neat it was. But the baby that was born was beautiful. And that's what it's about. The baby that was born. Just beautiful. Things we are told in the Bible concerning the birth of Jesus Christ are there for a reason. And we get a lot of them right when we portray it. You know, we don't want to enhance the situation, or the Bible doesn't enhance the situation. It's just fact, and everything that's in that story is for a reason. First of all, in Matthew and Luke, we are told that Mary is a virgin. That's the first important fact we learn. Why? Why are we told that? Well, to let the world know that this child is a fulfillment of Scripture in Isaiah 7:14. That's why it's there. So that there's no doubt what we believe in, that Mary's child was of a virgin birth. That was it. Isaiah 7:14. And Jesus is that boy that was born of a virgin birth. That's why we're told that. And that's a fundamental Christian doctrine. Another thing we're told in Matthew 1:25. If you remember in Matthew 1:25, we're told that Joseph had no sexual relations with Mary until after Jesus was born. You notice that's in there? Why is that in there? Well, so that there would be no doubt that Jesus was the Son of God and not the son of Joseph. There was no chance because he had no intimate relations with her till after Jesus was born. Lord God wanted us to know this was a virgin birth and he's the Son of God, the spotless Lamb of God that qualifies to be the sacrifice for sin. The third thing, in Matthew and Luke, we are told that the name of the boy will be Jesus. Yehoshua, Hebrew, which means God saved. We needed to know that. That's why it's in there. That's why his name is Jesus, not John or Peter or something else. It's Jesus because the message is in his name. God has come to save us. Everything in there is for a reason, so that in our Christian faith, there is absolutely no doubt of what we believe. As we shared Sunday, we pointed out, you can share the gospel, you could share the gospel from Luke 2. We covered every part of the gospel and future prophecy of him reigning for 1,000 years. He's going to reign eternally. And it's interesting how in the story of the birth of Jesus, you can really share everything we believe about our faith. You don't have to go very far in the Bible. It's amazing. And it's all there for a reason. So Yehoshua, God saves. We went over that. Another thing, we are told in Luke that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered at their own city. Therefore, Joseph and Mary had to take that route down to Bethlehem, from Nazareth to Bethlehem, because he was of the lineage of David. So God uses a ruler to create a census to get everybody back where their lineage is. So they are told that they have to go back to Bethlehem. Why? Why is that in there? Because in Micah 5:2, it says the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. Isn't God great? How he works everything out. As I was going through this, what we went through Sunday and today, I'm thinking, every single thing in the Bible is important when you look at it. It's all important. Sometimes we can just read like a story, but when you look at it, it's all fact, and it's there for a reason. So the way he got them to Bethlehem. That's why we read the first part of Luke 2 to see the fulfillment of prophecy in Micah 5, 2, that the babe would be born in Bethlehem. It's wonderful the way God works it out. Did you ever wonder why God's doing something in your life that makes no sense and you're ending up where you didn't intend to end up? And then one day you look back and say, oh, that's how God worked this all out, by working these circumstances out. He even used other people, just like he used this ruler. Say, how? Because we don't wake up in the morning and say, God, get me out of my comfort zone. Move me. Do what you have to do. Take away what you want to take away. Bring into my life whatever you want. You know, just, I want to go for it. We wake up saying, I'm very comfortable, God. You know, it's really nice to be comfortable and be taken care of. But God uses things to bring about his plan for the birth of Jesus and for our lives. And so this is encouraging when we read this. The next thing we're told in Luke 2:7, that the baby would be wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid in a manger. Why? Why are we told that? It could have just said Jesus was born. Why are we told that he was wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid in the manger? Because in Luke 2:12, the angel told the shepherds, you're going to know who that specific child is because he's going to be wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid in a manger, in case there were any other births that night. Isn't that exciting? All there for a reason. He says, here's how you're going to know that virgin birth child named Jesus, who came to save us from our sins, that was born in Bethlehem and fulfilling all Old Testament prophecies, because he's going to be wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. I don't know how many babies were lying in a manger. One, I do know. You know, I don't think a mom would do that. And so that's so the shepherds would know specifically where to go, who to look for, what to look for, and there he is. No mistake, this is Jesus that was born, that we're celebrating tonight. We are told in Luke that the babe was laid in a manger, not only wrapped in swaddling cloths, but laid in a manger, and probably in a stable, because this was a feed trough that he was laid in. Why is that in there? To show mankind that this child was born in the basest of circumstances, in poverty, in obscurity, only two people around. No big pomp and circumstance. And he can identify with all, and all are able to come to him. You see? He made himself poor at his birth so that we could become rich at our death. He came, he left heaven and came to this earth in a poor state to give us riches innumerable. That's what he came to do, showing us he's the one that can make us rich, that can lift us up, bring us up. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, if you would like to turn there. We see that there. 2 Corinthians 8. Paul caught that. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. That's what he did. He was laid in a manger. The word phatne is taken from the word, the Greek word, to eat. Isn't that interesting? It means a crib for fodder. So he was laid there. Very, very base beginning. He was laid in there. So that would mean there probably were animals around. And I'm not trying, I hope at first you didn't think I'm going to deflate your balloon. I'm showing you, we got a lot of it right. We got a lot of it right by the way we portray it. You know, it's a crib for fodder, which would only be there if there were animals around. Now, which kind of animals were around, that we don't know. But there were animals around. Probably like these down here. Now, next we're told in Luke about angels. The angels appearing to the shepherds. Why? Why do we see that? They came to proclaim the Savior, the Messiah, the Christ child, the Lord, is this baby boy Jesus, and they can go see him. They came to tell man he was born and where he is. That's how God did it. That's how he got the word out. Sent an angel from heaven, and then there were multitudes after that singing. But it was to identify this baby boy as Jesus the Messiah. To let the whole world know. It started with the mom and dad, then the angel, and then he relaying it to man, to these shepherds, who this boy was. And here we are, 2,000 some years later, millions upon millions believing, knowing that this is true. So that's how he got to share the word that the Messiah has come. Then we read about shepherds. Why shepherds? The shepherds were used to tell the world about Jesus Christ. They started it. It came from heaven to the shepherds to the world. They're in here because they were told to make widely known things concerning this child. The good shepherd has come. And that's the story. And much of what we display is real. But we need to be careful that we don't do what humans like to do to enhance or make prettier, or God forbid that we ever get to the place of glorifying Christmas and not the Lord Jesus. Just like people today make the wedding more important than the marriage. They focus on that one day. They don't focus on their marriage. Because they like to glorify and make things spectacular, and it's kind of makes you feel good. We must be careful as Christians that we do stick to this story. It's all there for a reason. But we never want to make just the one day or the holiday or the holy day more important than the Lord. Because Jesus is the one that the whole story is about. The rest is telling us how he came into the world and how it got passed on. And then it goes to his life, death, and resurrection, which is the important part. It's a wonderful day we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. But the good news is we can celebrate it every day. We can wake up every day and say, praise Jesus. Thank you for coming into my life. It's God, you know, we'll hear this, that Christmas is about gifts. Yes, it is. It's about God's gift to us, Jesus Christ. The best gift you'll ever receive. Never gets old. You can use him every day. As we were sharing Sunday, you can wake up you know, December 26th and have that same joy to the world, the King has come. When we take down the tree, we can still sing, praise the Lord, Jesus lives. Isn't that wonderful? We live a holiday that never ends. Then we're going to end up one day in this multitude of singers forever and ever praising the Lord. We can celebrate every day. It is about gifts, but it's about God's gift to us. And it's good to give people gifts. I don't even mind receiving gifts. But it's out of love that we give them. And we need to remember God's gift to us. How wonderful it is. People say it's about family. It is. And it's good to get together with family and share God's love and get together and love one another. We should have a family day every day, 365 days a year. That would be wonderful. It's about family. When you have faith in Jesus Christ, you and I become a child of God. Isn't that awesome? You get into another family. And it's a huge family. Can you imagine the marriage supper of the Lamb? Pass the food. Where is it? Way down the other end. That's huge. It's about family. It's about children of God. Here we are, one family here tonight. It's wonderful. It's about love, the love of God. How blessed we are to know Jesus. This baby born in Bethlehem. He has set us free. Can you picture him on this night he was born? Out in the open, a stable, lying in a manger. The smell was kind of farm-like. And just stars out there at night. His parents trying to do the best they can. Mary calmed down after crying out in pain maybe through the labor. Settled down into that peaceful night. And I don't know if you've ever seen these newborn babies. They wrap them so tight in that cloth. You think they're squeezing them to death, you know. And they look so beautiful and their little lips are moving. What a beautiful scene. That's the real manger scene. That's the real scene. The faith we have is a reality. We never want to glamorize it more than it is. You can't glamorize Jesus more than he is. We need to remember it the way it was. So base, so nice, so real. And I just pray that all of us, tonight, tomorrow, really, really have the joy of the Lord in our heart and realize that's never going to end, how blessed we are. God, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for saving us. Where would we be tonight if we didn't know you, Lord? I pray that we would all understand how much you love us, God. We did not start out going to heaven. We started out living for ourselves. But here we are now because of our faith in Jesus Christ, on our way to glory. Lord, I pray that we would be excited. So excited that that joy would just spread to those around us. Open doors this year, Lord. We all know people that have walked away from you, that don't know you. I pray this is their year, that today, tomorrow, you would soften their hearts and let them know there's one gift that still is under that tree, and it's Jesus. Let them be open to receiving him and start living. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.